Mini episode 575 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 575. We have a very special one for you today. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris. We have on with us two legends of the squared circle to talk about any number of recent events and a great program that they have going on. I speak, of course, of the total package Lex Luger, also known during his career as the Narcissist, and the Russian Nightmare Nikita Koloff. They engaged in a great feud in 1987, briefly reprised in 1991, but outside the ring they have long been working together. They are both now very strong men of God, and we've had them both on the show previously. It's been our privilege to speak to them individually about some of the work that they've been doing. We will be doing that today. We'll be talking about World Wrestling Outreach, which is a program that is being instituted that they are going forward with, that is doing a lot of good out there in community and showing everyone just what men of God can do to help brighten the lives of other people working through churches, schools, nonprofit organizations, etc. We'll be speaking with them as well about some recent passings from this mortal coil, some of their old colleagues who have recently passed away. There's been a spate over the last couple of months. One that really hit the mainstream, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, but prior to that, Nature Boy Buddy Landell, and one half of the Fantastics, Tommy Rogers. Couple of great pros, and in the case I never got a chance to talk to Tommy Rogers, but I heard very nice things about him. Buddy Landell had actually been on our program. We were privileged to have him as a guest, and he talked about the really great poem that he wrote for his close friend, the Junkyard Dog, how saddened he was about JYD's untimely passing in 1998, and unfortunately, it comes to pass that the same happens with Buddy Landell as well. So I know that these two gentlemen who are on with us today didn't spend multiple years in the same promotion with either one of these guys, but they did overlap with them, however briefly, and the wrestling business really is a fraternity. You get to know people even if you didn't spend much time or any time in the same promotion with them, and Buddy Landell, I suspect, may have been moving in some of the same circles as them in recent years with some of the ministry work, although I do not know that for sure, but definitely want to get their thoughts on the passings of Buddy Landell, Tommy Rogers, and the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, speak to them about World Wrestling Outreach, and just additionally get their thoughts on the landscape, I would say particularly in the South, which is where they really made their bones as pro wrestlers back in the mid to late 1980s. It's been really some changing times sociologically in the South this summer in particular with the unfortunate church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. There have been some church burnings, unfortunately, that have come in the wake of that as well. But the Confederate flag, which when these guys were wrestling down there, was pretty much omnipresent, oftentimes in pro wrestling, really sort of getting to be a despised symbol, almost sort of universally despised, as opposed to being polarizing. So the times have really been changing down there, and I think in the South more than any other part of the country, they are continuing to feel the division, I think, of the recent Supreme Court ruling on marriage. I think, and there's no question about it, in the South that was the most controversial place in the country for how that ruling was received, certainly more so than the New Yorks and San Franciscos of the world. Their insights about that and about these very changing times in an area that they know very well down there in the South. All this and much, much more that we will get to with these gentlemen. I believe we have Lex on the phone lines with us first. Let's get to him. Lex, is that you?
Hey, is this Rick?
Yes, it is, Lex. Great to have you on, my man. How are you today?
Rick, I'm doing great. Great to have us on. I believe by the modern technology figured out, we should have myself and Nikita concurrently on the line right now. Nikita, are you there?
Loud and clear. I hope. Am I loud and clear?
Yes, you are. Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. How are you today, Nikita?
You know, if I got any better, I wouldn't know what to do with myself, Rick. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Well, it's great to hear that. It's great to have you back on. And, you know, how many times do you get to be on a program where a presentation is being conducted by somebody who, as I mentioned to you last time, has the old Nikita T-shirt from 1986. So it's a true
well,
pleasure to...
That's crazy. Thought of that, but certainly humbled by that, and always a pleasure to be with you, and as well as with my peak performance partner, the total package, Lex Luger.
Hey, Rick, we better dive a thorough, full spectrum of issues on tap, it sounds like.
There's a lot going on, yeah. There's an awful lot going on. I know that when we got you booked here, it was ultimately getting you two guys' thoughts on Dusty's passing as your former, longtime mentor, friend, et cetera. But before we get to him, let's I guess, just try and go linear here. I want to start by talking about Buddy Landell and Tommy Rogers and, a couple of great talents in the ring, Buddy being a guy that was very underutilized, I thought, for a man of his talents, although, as he explained during his time on the show, why he was underutilized. Some of that was his demons that he overcame later in life. Tommy Rogers, man, I thought he was, out of all the 1980s tag team wrestlers, when you're looking at that genre of the rock and rolls, the fantastics, the fabulous ones, Tommy Rogers was my favorite individual guy. I thought the most entertaining out of all of them. So I want to get thoughts from both of you guys on them personally or professionally. Take it wherever you want to go as far as your remembrances. I'll start with you, Lex. Thoughts on Buddy and Tommy?
Tommy, great performer, always stayed in tip-top shape, great guy to be around, just very fond memories of him, both in the ring and in the locker room, and outside of that, we hung out a little bit, and outside of, we traveled a little bit together, so have great memories of him. Buddy was a real character in the ring and outside of the ring, a very talented guy as well as far as his work in the ring. And enjoy being around him as well. So, Nikita?
Well, I had a lot of time with both those guys in the NWA days, WCW, NWA days, on many cards together. Didn't have a lot of matches per se with Tommy and with Bobby Fulton. Fantastics. They're working mainly tag team programs, but nevertheless is on the same card, and I'd have to ditto Alexia, just a great hand in the ring and a great performer. It was sad to hear of his tragic death, of course, as many were, and Buddy Landell, wow. Yeah, I think I rode one time to one town with Buddy, and that's all it took for me. How we made it through Charlotte, and I still live to talk about it, I'm not sure. And then I was even more apprehensive as he was zigzagging in and out of rush hour traffic. Somehow, I don't know how a conversation came up with his concealed weapon, but... You know, I wasn't really used to somebody packing as well, and so he was definitely, I guess, character would be a good word for him. He was definitely a great talent in the ring. It was unfortunate that he was at times, as you alluded to, his own worst enemy, and so that did kind of hinder. Is doing more, even more in the wrestling circles. But, I'm just reminded, a traffic accident. I'm just reminded that there's, the only assurance of tomorrow is eternal life, and we can certainly talk more about that. But outside of that, there's really no promises. There's really no guarantees. So a person really needs to have their heart and life in alignment in the right place, because that's evidence that we don't know what tomorrow holds.
No question about it. And, again, I just want to say It's a pleasure to be talking to two guys. Above all else, it's a pleasure to be talking to guys conversant in that and understanding of that, and that these guys are now in a better place. And unfortunately, I think there's not enough people who really understand everything that goes with that. And we're definitely going to talk about that a little bit more. Want to continue to progress through the wrestling part of this year. And this one, I'll start with you, Nikita. You were more closely associated with this gentleman in the public eye as part of the Superpowers, Dusty Rhodes. His untimely passing, he's somebody who had lost a lot of weight in what seemed like a fairly short period of time, at least as far as when he was making public appearances. So I kind of noticed that in recent years. I have no idea if there's anything to that or not. Jim Ross has kind of alluded to the notion that he thought something might have been wrong, but Dusty kind of wanted to let it play out. That's just speculation as far as we know. But, Nikita, thoughts of this man who was a friend of yours, who was a mentor, somebody who was the boss, the booker, that whole time there in Crockett, and the booker when you came back in 91, what he meant to you, what he meant to the business, and anything else you want to get across?
The boss, the booker, he really, for me, was more of a friend than he was a boss or booker. And I think that's why, I treated him as such. In the sense, and what I mean by that is, I had a level of respect for him as a boss and booker, but because of our friendship, I didn't overextend that perception of a boss and booker. We became very good friends and lifelong friends, and I think because of that, I gained a lot of respect from him in return, and a lot of credit to my career, one of several who I credit to the success of the Russian Nightmare, the idea of the Superpowers at the time. I didn't know. Looking back, 2020, right? Vision's 2020 when you look back. I had no idea. We really had no idea, even though him and Jim Crockett had an idea. I don't think they really knew how big that was going to get, the teaming of the Russian Nightmare and the American Dream. And so we stepped out there. We took a risk and stepped out and went for it. And of course, history speaks for itself, what happened with the formulation of the Superpowers. And so very, very incredibly fond memories traveling up and down the highways, and by him and I riding in that convertible red Mercedes Benz that he would drive. That was kind of an inside joke on my part. All the other guys would drive the booker. I made the booker drive me and through the towns, and he didn't mind, but we had that kind of mutual respect for one another, and so just one, really honestly, just one of the fond memories, him and I riding the towns together, flying on planes, dreaming big dreams, I just look back from the matches, from the war games to the horsemen to just so many wonderful memories. The respect and regards to, probably the last several months of his life. Obviously there were I learned about him was, he was in a sense a very private person. So I can understand that he didn't divulge a lot of information in the latter days and weeks and months of his life. He was just that way. And so he would just ride it out. That seems to be what he did. And probably other than close family, not too many people really knew the severity of what he was suffering with. So nothing but really, for me personally, nothing but really great things to say about Dusty.
Well, it's something that just seemed like insult to injury for another one of the old Crockett guys. There's somebody else that we think of in the public mind sort of the same way with Dusty as we think of you. Of course, Magnum T.A., the guy who's, when you formed the Superpowers, of course, that took the place of America's team with him and Magnum back in the day. Unfortunately, he passed away on Magnum's birthday. And that I read that. I'm like, oh, God, that probably that had to make it even worse for him in a way. That's something terrible when your birthday is marred by that, and probably always remember that. I'd like to turn to you, Lex, for your thoughts. I know that in addition to Dusty being the boss down there, the guy who was in charge during the formative part of your career, first with the Four Horsemen, and then somebody that really sort of formed the pivot point for you, it seems like. Starrcade 87, that was the beginning of you doing the big turn and becoming the big franchise babyface that everybody was waiting for. So that feud with Dusty really was sort of your coda in your first role there and getting you ready for everything that was to come. So I'd like to get your thoughts on working with Dusty, being friends with him, et cetera.
In the ring, just charismatic, iconic figure. Quite all the people have come to me the last few number of days since his passing and told me the fond memories they've had of him and how much they enjoyed watching him. His personality, one of the best interviewers ever in our business, without a doubt. The plumber's son, the whole, just amazing. His crossed all racial lines. Just an amazing performer in the ring. Utmost respect for that. He also was very instrumental in the foundational days, weeks and years of my career. He was instrumental in bringing me in, pairing me with the Four Horsemen, saw a vision for my career, came up with my finish, the Backbreaker, which became known as the Torture Rack. My nickname, the Total Package, was mainly something he came up with right before I went out for my first interview on TBS back in the old days. My first came in there. So he had a profound a positive effect on launching my career. And as far as outside of all that, a real visionary kind of guy. He had a real psyche into the mind of the wrestling fan. One of the reasons he was always what you call a boss or whatever you call a booker. And Camp just had some incredible ideas he'd come up with, not only like for wrestling, but for things outside of the wrestling world and his love for the outdoors and the mountains and his big, what was that full-length coat he had? Was it a mink coat he had, or what was that, Nikita, he wore? It was...
It was a full-length mink coat.
Yeah, I mean, that's the flamboyance. He's a guy that could pull that off. And it just his personality is bigger than life. He can wear stuff like that, fashion-wise, and just a lot of, as I'm speaking, just a lot of incredible memories of Dusty, from all those aspects. Great guy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great story about the coat. I was never fortunate enough to meet him, but I have a friend who has worked with him and got to know him, and I know he counts himself as a very, very lucky person. And, yeah, everything that you said about how he was on the mic, no question about it. I posted on Facebook when the news broke. I found a copy of the Hard Times promo, and I said, you know, Hard Times, that's maybe the greatest promo ever from maybe the greatest promo guy ever. And, you know, he certainly could really bring that. That's sort of a segue to, and I want to get to the World Wrestling Outreach with you guys, but along the way to doing that, I'd like to kind of get you guys' broader thoughts here. You know, when we talk about hard times, changing times, people are seeing things, you know, I think in a different way depending on what standpoint they're coming from. But I'm fascinated from the notion of you guys spending as much time as you did down there in the South. You talk about those days on TBS. I think that's how most of us probably think of both of your careers predominantly, even though, as we've talked about, Lex, you had the memorable run in New York. But to a lot of us, you guys will always be associated with that time and that place. And there more than maybe any other part of the country, this has been a summer of really, really big change as far as the perception of the Confederate flag. Stars and bars, of course, was very common when you guys were in the wrestling biz. It was a part of some of the gimmicks down there. Southern Boys, you know, being a babyface tag team with the flag bandanas. And between that and between the other thing that I would say is really, really a big note of change in that part of the country, maybe more than any other, is the Supreme Court marriage ruling that was handed down about a week ago. So In terms of these areas, and I know for somebody like myself as a lifelong Roman Catholic, the latter issue is one that, you know, I sort of find troubling from the standpoint of what would God want us to do and what does God want, and that doesn't seem to be a question that's getting asked very much. So in terms of you guys both, you know, having that perspective, both being men of God, I'll start with you on this one, Lex. These changing times that we're in right now, everything very tumultuous. What's your perspective as society is changing so rapidly around us?
I have had the good fortune now of having been taught and read the Bible from cover to cover. So number one, I know the end of the story, and that's the really good news in the gospel. And man's inhumanity against man, and the bad decisions man made have been around since the beginning of time. And as far as the current controversies, I embrace, I love living in the South. I grew up in Buffalo, New York. I love Buffalo and where I'm from. I'm very proud of where I'm from. Lifelong Buffalo Bills fan. Always will be, and Sabres fan. My family, my mom and dad, my brother still live up there. But I moved to the South, and the way they embraced me down here and the character and the friendliness of the people down here, and along with the weather, I love it down here. As far as traditions that we're talking about, I believe that I'm very proud of the way everybody's come together, from NASCAR to the governor of South Carolina to everybody. I don't believe the flag issue or what happened in the tragedy with the South Carolina wasn't really a flag issue, but more the, it's really a heart issue, which is going on with man since beginning of time. There was some people buried, Ben Watson, New Orleans Saints, posted something on social media about that. He's a African-American player, and he said that he also thought it's a heart issue, but at the same time, there's something that to many people represents something that brings negative thoughts to mind about race relations that maybe we should honor and respect, that maybe in public places and things, definitely not, I believe, in freedom here in this country, which so many fought for, but at the same time, on state capitals and public places and things, that maybe we should be sensitive to that. And I'm in total agreement with him, and that I'm very proud with the way most people, we can't obviously control how people respond, but the way most people here in South responded to the flag issue, I'm very proud of how they've responded with love and consideration towards others of what it actually represents. Without discounting its heritage in the South, a lot of people don't have just negative connotations of it, but those who do, I think there's been a very, for the most part, loving, respectful response to that. On the marriage issue, I wasn't surprised. In the Supreme Court, I have my own feelings on that. I obviously have a biblical viewpoint on that. Marriage is traditionally between a man and woman. But I feel that we should love people. Condemnation and judgment is not, especially judgment, is not what we're supposed to do. And I love them. And I try to love all people, do the best I can for that. So I wasn't surprised with that issue at all, but I will, of course, maintain my views on that, that marriage is traditionally between a man and a woman. And kind of my thoughts on that. You gave me a lot there. I didn't mean to go on for so long.
No, I wanted a lot. I wanted you gave me exactly
really,
what I wanted.
You gave me about four really heavy topics there. So sorry about that.
You know what? I wanted you to go freeform, Lex. You were always great on the stick. I wanted you to be able to go freeform. I wanted to get what your thoughts
on there.
No. I wanted your thoughts on all of that. And as a matter of fact, I'll say, you know, for as good as you guys were in the ring together, I'm sure this isn't the first time this has happened. Nikita, I would say that's a tough act to follow as far as, you know, touching bases on the different things here. But you yourself are a very eloquent gentleman. So, you know, your thoughts on your perspective as a man of God in this changing world, and like Lex, take it anywhere you want to take it, because that's as open-ended a question as I could possibly give you.
All right. No apologies needed, Lex. And, you know, the beautiful thing about these interviews is, you know, unlike the wrestling of our day where there were no scripts for interviews and or matches per se, as there are now, no script writers. You know, there was a booker, but we spontaneously went in the ring and told the story and got in front of the camera and cut an interview. And so total spontaneity tonight. No scripts handed down here, folks. But Well, I too, like Lex, I've read the back of the book. I've read the whole book, the Good News, on numerous occasions, and I'm excited about the times. So I was telling Lex the other day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to live in this time period, and just thrilled and excited that I get to do what I get to do, and whether it's coaching somebody up on to better health in their physical bodies, or speaking into their spiritual journey in life, and whatever it is, mentoring, and so when it comes to issues like this, like Lex, there's no surprises here. I mean, it's all covered. From if you read it from cover to cover, you'll find everything becomes uncovered. So it's all covered in there from cover to cover in the Good News, or as some might call it, the Holy Bible. And so no surprises on my part. I'm just thankful I get to be a part of it and watch it all unfold and fulfill my part of it, fulfill my role that I'm called to do. And so as far as, the two different issues, on the marital side of things, I find it interesting. I'm reminded of a saying, and it goes like this. If one wants to sense any part of the future, one only has to review history, because it's been said that history, the study of history, will in essence reveal the future. And so I've done a lot of that. I'm fascinated by history. I traveled to Israel, had a pilgrimage over there with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and Brother Jason several years ago, and was greatly impacted by walking the streets of Jerusalem and sailing the Sea of Galilee and experiencing everything I did. I overwhelmed to tears at times, just the presence of God in that city of Jerusalem and that nation called Israel. And so I say all that to say, when I look at that issue and I study history, one only has to look so far to find that when you push God out of the equation, I just saw a post the other day, Supreme Court passed a decision to take the Ten Commandments, the stone tablet down, I think from the city hall in Oklahoma City or somewhere out there. So it's not just in the South. But when you push God out, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist, an aeronautical engineer, to simply understand when you push him out and you push him further and further away, it's only a matter of time. It's not if, it's only when he just removes his hand of protection and says, okay, let me know how all that works out for you. And so, unfortunately, day by day, step by step, whether it's through court rulings or people making their own personal decision to push God out, we are just seeing the effects of that. We're seeing the results of that manifest itself. And so I'm going to be very fascinated, even just over the next 10 years, over the next decade, by that ruling by the Supreme Court, where our country goes just even in the next 10 years. In regards to the flag, I've lived in the Charlotte community now basically since 1984. Absolutely love living in the South, the Southern hospitality, the generosity of the people. I know the Lord planted Lex and I in the Deep South because it's the most unhealthiest part of the country. No offense to those of you in the South that might be struggling with that. We're here to help. But that's why the Lord planted us in the South. Two Northern guys planted in the South who've had a radical change
and fallen in love with Jesus who now get to help people in every aspect of their life. And so, you know, that's some of my thoughts on your questions.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nikita, for as much as I joked about it, about Lex being a hard act to follow on that, you did that exactly. And I have to say I'm very, very heartened by the fact that you're optimistic and thrilled to be living in these times. I haven't been feeling that in the last week. It looks like traditionalists have really been marginalized a lot. I bear the very recent scars of seeing a close friend of mine yesterday on Facebook brand traditionalists as anti-American. So I'm seeing a lot from the lemmings of the world out there who are just very happy to, you know, not look at things beneath the surface here. And, you know, for all things beneath the surface, I mean, I think it's God that's basically what we're speaking of and guiding these things and the hidden hand that unfortunately a lot of people don't want to look for.
It's an interesting, there's an interesting perspective there because here's the fact, and we can move on to the WWO, which Lex and I are thrilled to be a part of as well. And let me just make this one comment. We'll move on because it ties into the WWO. And that is this. Again, one only has to read the book. Now, there's plenty out there who don't, who've never read the Bible. But if one would just diligently do that, as opposed to argue against it, and actually take the time to read it, I believe there would be some real enlightenment on many, 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 many people's parts. I'm staggered by the statistics of those who say they're believers and Christ followers who've never even read it from cover to cover. I'm staggered by that, but that aside, for the ones who are not Christ followers who argue against it, if they would just humble themselves enough to say, hey, you know what? I'll read it. I think part of what they would find is we do live in a fallen world. Clearly, we live in a fallen world. So a lot of what we see, it can be expected. And the last comment is this. I used to say, when you say, you know, the last week I've been a bit disheartened. Well, it's all in your perspective. And I used to say, hey, the glass is either half full or it's half empty. Now I like to say what you're missing is the glass can be refilled.
That's an amazing point of view. That really, really is. And that does make me feel a little better. It's great to be able to hear that from guys like you, too, who've been through it and learned these kind of lessons. And, you know, that's what you said is actually a tremendous segue to what I wanted to get to with WWO. So these having been the lessons that you guys have learned and absorbed over time and things you're putting forth in your own lives and with your own outlooks, what are you taking and doing with that with WWO? I'll start with you, Nikita.
Well, there's a four-letter word, and for those listening, I don't regard it to be a cuss word, but it's called hope, H-O-P-E, hope.
Mm-hmm.
And what Lex and I do with World Wrestling Outreach and the World Wellness Outreach is hopefully we're bringing hope to people that, hey, there is a better way, there is another way. There is a better way to navigate this journey that we call life. And again, if they open up their heart enough, open up their mind enough, and be willing to open up their eyes just to take a look and see that I believe what he and I are on the path of doing is impacting many, many, many people's lives, taking our stories. And you know, my elevator story is 1993, I left professional wrestling and I was successful, but I was unfulfilled. Something was missing. And I had the wrestling match of a lifetime, 17th of October, 1993, not in a squared circle, but in a church circle. And it was there that I walked an aisle, not to meet Ric Flair, but to surrender my life to Jesus. And my life's never been the same since, ever. I had an encounter at the altar that day, and it forever changed my life. Fast forward to 2006, Lex and I got reconnected. He can tell you some of his story. And fast forward to 2015, and now him and I have tag-teamed for Kingdom Work that involves the mind, body, and spirit. Lex, I'm going to hand over to you.
Well, thank you, Nikita. April 23rd, 06 was a benchmark day for me when I surrendered my life to Christ. I'd made a ton of poor decisions, didn't feel any hope in my life, and God loved each of us so much that he transformed me that day when I surrendered to him, and he's just surrounded with incredible people, and Nikita included. We've done a lot of ministry work in the past number of years together. He's been a mentor and a coach to me as well, and become a very dear friend, and just a sort of a natural progression of our interest in seeing people physically fit, mentally fit, and spiritually fit. And that's one part of our WWO World Wellness Outreach that we formed, a new nonprofit, which we're so excited about. And then we love working with people and coaching and mentoring them with that. And it fits in with our whole background educationally and vocationally. And then with the outreach, we love to share the gospel, and we love doing that through community fund-based events, wrestling events, et cetera. We want to do it with NASCAR. We want to do it in the military bases and also in schools across the country, like going to schools on Fridays, share a positive message, have a family fun event in a lot of the maybe more secondary markets, kind of underserved markets around the country, and big fish in a small pond, so to speak, where the turnout will be, what we found has been incredible for these type of events, and just bring a first-class family fun event to the community and fundraising, and then have young athletes who are in the wrestling outreach go out and share their stories like we share ours out in the communities on Sunday mornings in the churches, et cetera. So that's kind of the overview of our new nonprofit, WWO, World Wrestling Outreach, and the World Wellness Outreach.
That is awesome. Everything that you guys are doing, that is incredible. I appreciate you guys breaking it down like that. And by the way, and I would, as far as breaking it down, I would be remiss if I didn't pass along this feedback to you, Lex, something that you've mentioned previously on the show. I thought one of the more interesting and unknown things anybody has said to us, that your perception of your career as far as, the early expectations that the actors of the world were putting out there, this guy could be the next Hogan or whatever, that you felt like you were fulfilled in your career because you could excel in any role they put you in, and that you didn't feel like the face heel turns and all that stuff was a bad thing, but it was a good thing because you could excel in whatever. I will tell you, we've been doing a history of the Royal Rumble series on this show here. We're not just a pro wrestling show, but we don't have to talk about it. We've known year by year, we're into the mid-90s. And I think that there are people that have a little bit more appreciation for your career when they hear something like that, when they hear your perspective and how you were trying to approach it, and leaving aside the outside expectations. So I wanted to tell you, I think there's a little bit more appreciation for your career when people hear that perspective from you. I wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you, Rick. My friend, I appreciate those sentiments.
Sure. No, because I thought it was so fascinating when you said it. I think everybody just assumed, that you were caught up in the whole thing at the time. And, the after mags are saying I'm going to be, the wrestler of the 90s and whatever. And it's just really interesting to hear your inside perspective on it. It's been a pleasure, Evan.
I think a lot of people are trying to, a lot of people are searching for the next Hulk Hogan. And there will only be one Hulk Hogan. And
yep.
So I'm personally feel very thankful for the career I was able to have. And like we said, I thought there was some versatility there. And that whole next Hulk Hogan thing was some of those shoes that no one was ever going to fill. There's only one unique Hulk Hogan. And I have looked back very fondly upon my career and what I was able to put out there and inside of the ring. So thank you very much.
As well you should. Oh, yeah, one of the best. And by the way, here in passing at the end, I should probably ask this as well. Nikita, I don't think we covered this last time. I've never heard one way or another. I like to get it from the horse's mouth. Were you ever at any point close to going to New York in the mid to late 80s? Was there any outreach, meetings, et cetera?
Is that directed to me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay,
yeah, I've heard different things on that.
I thought we should the horse's mouth. I thought you said the horseman's mouth. I said, well, he must be talking to Lex. I'm not a horseman.
I was on the opposite side of the fence there on that one. But, you know, I get asked that question a lot. And the fact of the matter is, Vince and I bumped into each other in a gym in Las Vegas one time, and I don't know if that unplanned, I don't know if that unplanned meeting spurred a lot of conversation or not, but, and that was just a cordial conversation. It had nothing to do with business whatsoever. When Barry Darso left us and went to New York to form Demolition, he originally asked if I would go with him because we, you know, he was Crusher Khrushchev. He was part of the Russian, you know, menacing team. And I just told him there's two reasons why I could not go to New York. One, Animal was a lifelong friend. We were like brothers growing up and played college football together. I recruited him to my college and just became like the prodigal son to his family and just loved him, his family, his mom, dad. And so I felt like it would be kind of a, you know, no disrespect to Barry, but just a spin-off of the Road Warriors. And so out of respect for the Road Warriors, I couldn't do it. And then secondly, for those who don't know my story, there's not time to go into it tonight, but the way I broke into the business, to my knowledge, through all the research we've done, nobody's ever broken into wrestling the way I did it. And so Jim Crockett gave me an unbelievable opportunity, and I did take advantage of it. He opened the door, and I walked through it, and I took advantage. But out of loyalty to Jim Crockett, I couldn't do that. Now, a lot of people say, well, what about AWA and all that? Well, they were working collectively together, so a lot of the shows I did for AWA were with Jim Crockett's permission. But I just had a real loyalty, and I realized I probably passed up quite a few dollars to do that, but loyalty was more important to me than the almighty buck. So I never even attempted to negotiate with Vince.
Very well said on the character that you showed there. And again, the irony is, in the end, all of the high points from both of your careers can be seen now on the WWE Network, and it's things like that that are the real treat to me. Forget the present product aside from NXT. It's the old stuff I want to watch. And, you know, you guys did it so very, very well back in the day. A true privilege to have on not just great professionals like you guys, but more importantly, great men like you guys, to break it all down. I want to thank both of you so much, Lex Luger and Nikita Koloff. It's been a pleasure to have you on previously. I look forward to future conversations with you gentlemen. Thank you so much, and God bless, guys.
Can I make one more quick comment?
Sure.
To all the listeners out there, you know, be looking in the future for WWO to be on the map. You know, as Lex and I, you know, we've been meeting with guys like you mentioned, Magnum TA, Lodi from the WCW days, Gunner from TNA, just meeting with other wrestlers who are casting the vision for the World Wrestling Outreach, and then impacting men's lives through our manhood workshops and eventually our Unleashed Manhood camps. And so be looking for that information. We'll get some websites up soon and all that sort of thing, and I appreciate you having us on.
I'm so grateful to have you both on. Thank you guys both very much for coming on here tonight. Thank you all, everybody, for tuning in to FDH Lounge Mini Episode number 575.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.